All right. The great drummer Billy Cobham was born on this day in 1944, so that's his sound you hear beneath your mind. You listen to the Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org and click on MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union's banner, which is on our website. Now, this is interesting, kind of tailing off of what we just talked about, which is the deindustrialization of our communities and how workers making decent wages have lost their work throughout this community that has added to all the issues that people face when communities are deindustrialized, when people are making $20, $30 an hour in the factories and steel mills and auto plants, and then nothing. And taking away people's pensions, but letting the millionaires who own these factories go off scot-free and keep their billions while people struggle to survive. So there's an economic democracy conference coming to Baltimore that we're going to talk about. We have in the studio with us Dr. Margaret Flowers, who is a co-director of It's OurEconomy.us, co-host of Clearing the Fog, Forces of Greed radio show. Joyce Smith has been a long time since been on the show. It's great to see her again. She's community relations coordinator at the Center for a Livable Future, a community advocate in Southwest Baltimore working on food issues. And John Morris is dean of the School of Urban Planning and Community Economic Development at the wonderful Sojourner Douglas College. Good to have you all here.
Thank you for inviting us, Mark.
You. So, Margaret, let me start with you. I mean, because sure. I know you were one of the co-conspirators here to put this conference together. So talk about what's coming to Baltimore today and tomorrow, right?
It starts tonight at the Real News Network in their studio space, right? Yeah. The doors open at 6:30 and the program begins at 7. And that's really going to be bringing together some people from Maryland and outside of Maryland to give kind of a big vision of what we can do. Because this movement towards economic democracy, there's seeds of it here that are growing. It's happening all around the country and actually around
what does it mean?
The world. Well, it's basically taking the economy back, making it so that the people who live in the community have the ability to affect policy, to make economic decisions, and that the economy benefits them more. So it's things like cooperatives and changing financial structures so that they're actually benefiting people as opposed to the big banks, and taking housing out of the marketplace and making it guaranteed to be affordable through things like land trusts. So it's a whole variety. It's energy. It's everything. But it's based on we have more control over the economy and more benefit from it.
Well, let me just go first to our guest. I really want to kind of explore what that means and how it works practically on the ground. Joyce, now you're part of this?
Yes, I'm on the panel.
So tell me about what you're going to be presenting.
I'm going to be presenting the food issues around food desert access and availability, wholesome food, what it means to have access to foods in a low-income community and a disenfranchised community, and look at a lot of what Margaret talked about, the policies, how life has changed from when I was a kid to where it is now. Just how to go about incorporating or including the community. A lot of times the communities are not at the table.
Right.
And you need the communities at the table to really get a sure shot at making changes and putting it in a way where you can take it back to the people in those communities who are at varying levels of awareness. One of the things that concerned me that there is a lack of awareness and a lack of educating people on some of these issues, such as what Margaret was talking about. You hear about it outside of the city, outside of your community, but we need to figure out how to bring that message to the people in the community that can really help to push this movement forward.
I have a question for you about that, but we'll come back to that as well. And good to have you in the studio, John Morris. So what's your participation? What are you bringing to the table here?
Well, I'm bringing a vision of urban possibility, that cities historically have been places where people thrive until now. And I think in many ways this economic democracy movement is a way of reinventing what cities are. I mean, when you think of the old cities that emerged, they generally emerged as parts of conquest, either directly, militaristically, or economically. Mm-hmm. I mean, this notion of economic democracy is you can create value without having to destroy. I mean, mm-hmm. essentially, economics is creative and not destructive.
And what's made it destructive in many ways is the absence of people at its center. So you were you had your segment previously on the deindustrialization of, I guess it was of South Baltimore, or of, I guess you'd say generally America. So I think one of the aspects of industrialization that we don't fully appreciate is the extent to which industry gave people purpose, gave people a sense of involvement in the economy, gave people a way of making a living on their own. And when you remove the industry, you remove that aspect of the economy that engaged people and made the economy just about making money. So I think part of what we're trying to do, and that's part of my message, is, well, how do you recreate an economy in which people matter?
So let's talk about that for a minute. I'm going to talk about how the rubber meets the road in this conversation. I mean, what it means to create this economy. And I know that we've had Gar Alperovitz on this program numerous times, and other folks working in their collaborative out of the University of Maryland, the Democracy Collaborative,
yes.
Right? And one of the things I'll just very quickly just say, you know, they first went to Cleveland and helped people in the community organize workers' cooperatives to service the needs, whether it's a laundry, servicing the larger institutions in the community, and they expanded from there, solar, and got involved in other things.
Right.
So tell me, in very practical terms, what are we talking about here, other than kind of theoretically talking about people creating a democratic economy? What is it? What are we?
Well, that's what the conference is about. It's about bringing people that are actually doing this work already in their communities to bring that vision to people here in Baltimore that this is possible and this is how we do it when we work together. So, you know, we have five different tracks that really came out of what people in the city were either interested in or were already doing. And actually, I should backtrack because part of this is just understanding money, what it actually is, how it actually works, how debt-based economies work, and how that we don't have to live within that construct. There are other constructs that actually are more sustainable and more people-centered. So it's things like participatory budgeting, communities that have moved towards allowing their capital funds to be decided upon how they're spent by the community.
There's public funds, you mean?
Public funds,
right.
Yeah. So, and you can do it in a number of ways. I mean, we have this casino that's come in that's now said that, well, we're going to give back some money to the community. Well, why would the casino decide on where to put that money? The community should be deciding on where they want that money to be put in a participatory way. It's looking at things like we have an alternative currency in Baltimore, the Baltimore Green Currency.
Right.
But it's not really reaching as deeply as it could. It's not really lifting communities out of poverty, and there are ways to structure complementary currencies so that they raise the standard of living. So things like that, the cooperatives, and we need more incubator cooperatives here, and helping people to develop their own cooperative businesses based on what their interests are and their skills are. And then the evergreen model that you mentioned that Gar Alperovitz has done, where you take anchor institutions. These are institutions that are not going away, like Hopkins, like University of Maryland, that need to purchase services. So let's create businesses in our community and have them purchase those services here, as opposed to sending that money outside to another state. So there's, you know, there's more, but these are things that are actually being done here and in other places. And we need to see that we're part of a broader movement to really take back the economy and reshape it for people.
I mean, I'm curious how you, what you all think also comes out of this. I mean, where does this go? You know, I think it's really important that people are coming together to talk about these possibilities and hear about what's going on around the country and how we can develop it here. We've had shows on this alternative currency in Baltimore. It's been a while since we've done that program. I'm one of those folks who's saying, how is this really going to work? I mean, how do you take an alternative currency and actually make it work in a community so people can survive and grow? What does that mean? Who backs it?
Well, let's. I think you're looking at a number of separate pieces. What you've got is a jigsaw. You're putting all those pieces together and put together a picture. Just before I came to the show, one aspect of the existing economy that's not particularly democratic, not particularly well economically, is somebody who comes to my house regularly, who's not doing very well, had just done some time in jail, stopped by to see if there was work he could do. I give him a little work here and there. I got another guy who does it, who cuts my lawn. Now, those people do that separately. So part of this idea of economic democracy is, well, how do you put all those pieces together so it works productively, so it raises the business that those people do? They're stuck on their own, having to go door to door, hoping that somebody's there. You can organize it differently. We do this in the larger economy. You don't have to know how to run a business to be an owner. We created the corporation. It organizes big money. Can we apply the same imagination and creativity to organize people who do hard work, to organize people who got a skill that they want to market to the world but don't have a marketplace that works for them and their circumstance? Mm-hmm. So that's part of the glue that brings all those pieces together, which is basically to look at a city like Baltimore, and despite the poverty, despite the discrimination, despite all of the inequality, to say, we can build an economy using solutions that aren't the solutions of first choice by the people who run the city. So that's what comes out of this conference, new and alternative policy.
That's very exciting. Joyce, go ahead.
And I agree with both the individuals that spoke before me, because when you talk about the money, one of the things in the low-income community in Southwest Baltimore, I always say people only know, only thing people know what to do with money is to spend it. But how to make that little bit of money you have work for you. And you talk about the guy with the, I call it the underground economy, that, you know, hey, can I come and do this, that, the other? There are a lot of those practices that has been put in place. In Southwest Baltimore, before it folded, we had a credit union. It was a non-cash credit union. Folks said, well, how will it work? We made it work. Again, you talk about what this democracy conference is going to do. You bring all those pieces together. And, you know, that's why I was interested in being a part of it. I'm like, we have something to offer. I don't care what anyone says. So you bring all those pieces together, and you get that person who brings this and you bring that. You spoke about anchor institutions. They are great. But one of the things moving forward, if I can share anything about an anchor institution and working with a community, when that leadership change, you have to make sure that they are aware of the strength of that community. It's not, hey, we're going to come here and we're going to save you, mm-hmm. because we have been saving ourselves. We've been working together as a team. And that's the one thing that I feel this conference is going to be. All those strong players, oh, you be still in the game. We're not out yet. So just stay in the game. We need more right. coaches, more leaders, and folks willing to step outside the box, folks willing to say, I think we can do this. And there are a lot of people in these low-income communities, even with the big corporations taking over, that we just have to get out there and learn how to speak the language that brings them in.
Right. And this is really just, this is a kind of a the first conference, but it's meant to try to move along and unify what's already starting to happen here organically. And we're going to continue to organize in the city and work together and talk together and keep moving this forward, identify what obstacles are there, how do we organize to remove those obstacles. So I think that the first part is having the vision of realizing that we can take back the economic power in this city and empowering people to do that.
So tell me what people will experience if they show up. I mean, we'll talk about tonight in a little bit, but I'm curious what, because tomorrow to me is the meat and potatoes.
Right.
If
people can't make it down to the Real News Network tonight, it is going to be live streamed, and you can watch it on our website. It's ourEconomy.us. And then tomorrow morning we'll open with Dean John Morris and a gentleman, Ed Whitfield, who's coming up from North Carolina, who's been doing similar work down there.
What's he been doing?
The same kind of thing, building cooperatives and having people take more control over the economy. But, a lot of organizing down there. But then we're moving into what we're calling work sessions. They're not really workshops. It's really a space for people to come together and meet to talk about these different alternatives and where they want to put their energies. So there's five different tracks: cooperatives, rethinking money and doing alternative finance, community land trust to make housing affordable, renewable energy, and the Curtis Bay kids will be part of that, and then food, talking about how do we meet the food needs in this city. And so then at the end, for the closing plenary, it's really going to be focused on next steps, kind of a report back from all those groups, and then what are the next things that we need to do to move this forward.
We always talk about people doing good work on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate reality is there are a lot of people doing good work, but they don't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the program. I don't know the people who are there doing what they're doing. I know they don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So there's no underlying structure that gives people a sense that the work that they're struggling with and think is hopeless where they are it's also being done with other people.
You know, I was thinking about this. All three were talking about that. We've spent a lot of time working with, you're talking about land trust, we've spent a lot of time talking with public housing residents who are facing the privatization of public housing in this community. And one of the arguments there is a land trust, and there's also allowing the public housing residents to manage their own homes mm-hmm. through a land trust as opposed to having it marketed off to some other company to run it. And who knows what can happen in 5-10 years right. with those people's lives and right. homes, that there are alternative ways of doing that. And what you were saying a moment ago, John Morris, I think is really key. And I think because it's reflective of what is the three of you being in this room now, which is that this Baltimore has a lot of things going on inside of it. Mm-hmm. But whether it is neighborhood, class, especially racial divides in this town, we don't go across to understand what's happening, to a kind of a unified kind of sense of to making change. And part of what I'm hearing is that's what's happening at this conference. And I see it happening on other levels here in the city, whether it was the housing groups that came together, other things going on. That there's something bubbling like that right now Absolutely. In this town. I have not seen it in all my time here in a long time.
That's important. But what also has to follow that is a structure that keeps it going, so exactly. it's not just event-driven. Right. It's a matter.
So it's not event-driven,
it's
correct.
It's not event-driven,
right, right.
And we develop new ways of doing right. business as we do what we do that necessarily involves all the various players in, yeah. in this particular issue,
Joyce,
no matter where they live.
I'm sorry.
And like when Margaret was talking about, you know, the next step, I always say the work that I do, you have to have a hook. You have to have a next step. You have to give people a reason to believe you, to believe in you, not just because you're standing up there talking and you know all of this stuff. You need to be able to say, I want you to come back, and these are the things that's happening. And when you talk about the racial divide, I remember Operation Reach Out Southwest. That was a coalition that I worked with. What we did with our anchor institution, or what our anchor institution did with us, was to bring the community leaders north and south of Baltimore. Baltimore Street.
Black and white.
We all, the neighborhood was poor overall, but we all wanted the same things. And we all met to say, this is what we want. That is the good thing about what I see this conference doing, similar to what we did in Southwest Baltimore, but doing it more broader throughout Baltimore City and bringing different people and different players together to hear what everyone has to say. But not just say, get them to commit to do as well.
You're going to say something more?
I was just going to say that, you know, when we identify these obstacles that keep these things from going forward, if we work together across communities to change those obstacles, we're much stronger. And we there's probably a lot of commonalities, things that we all need in terms of changes to allow us to do what we need to do in this city.
So this is open to anybody?
It's free. It's open to the public. If you have not RSVP'd, we can't guarantee you a lunch, so you might want to bring your own. But other than that, you're welcome to join us.
Bring a lunch, just in case.
Right.
So what happens tonight? Who's speaking tonight?
Tonight we'll be in the town hall space in the studio space at The Real News.
And Holiday and Saratoga Street.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's really a space where the vision of Real News, which we share, is to bring people together to start having these discussions and ask questions. And so we'll open with Diane Bell McCoy, who's the president of Associated Black Charities, to really talk about the situation in Baltimore, the economic situation. Then Gar Alperovitz will be talking about this kind of where we are in this historic moment with the changes that are happening in the new economy in the U.S. and around the world. Then Jackie Dunn, who's a co-author of Rethinking Money and has an international consulting company where she works with communities all around the world that have raised their level of living up through alternative financial structures. And then we'll close with Michael, I'm blanking on his last name. I think it's Smith from the United Workers.
Right.
One of the really dynamic community leader in the United Workers program, talking about what they've been doing, and then we'll open it up to discussion and follow that with a reception so that people can keep talking.
And then, where is tomorrow?
Tomorrow's at the University of Maryland School of Social Work. We'll be opening the doors at 8:30, and the first conference starts at 9.
All right. And so, you about to say something, John?
Yeah, I think one of the messages that should come out of this is that everybody is indispensable.
Right.
That when you think about this notion of economic democracy, that's the general premise. When you look at the existing economy, the general point is that almost everybody but those who have money are disposable. Mm-hmm. So this is a very different way of thinking about how to put together your solutions, and it's certainly a good message for our current administration in this city to recognize, because there are a lot of potentially disposable people here.
Yeah. I like the way that Sherry Hunkla puts it. If you're not exploitable, you're expendable right now in the economy.
Good old Sherry Hunkla. Michael Coleman is a person.
Coleman, thank you.
From the United Workers. Yeah. So how did the three of you end up coming together around this? I'm curious how that, because this is not a connection that you all normally would have had. So where does it come from?
I was asked through our Center for Livable Futures since my
Since your work with ACLF, right.
And I'm the community relations coordinator. It was like, hey, do you think you would be interested in doing this type of stuff? And my immediate supervisor, Ann, said, well, you know, you're full of ideas. I think this would be great. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, throw my name out there. Okay. That's how I got there. And then when I started reading and Mr. White started calling me, and I'm like, hey, this sounds like, you know, as my daughter said, you're just a leftover from the 60s, Mom.
We're not leftovers.
We're still going strong.
She said, you just don't have the peace sign.
Don't knock the 60s.
That's right.
There's a vision there that got lost.
Well, yes.
Got lost. And I say to a lot of young people, and I said it just the other day, when somebody 17 got up and said something. I said, no, you need to stand up, because at 17 back in the 60s, we were right.
Yeah.
And as we get older, we're still right. So that message is not gone. Because you're young doesn't mean you don't have the truth on your side. Different. Understanding what's going on can't mm-hmm. teach you a bit about where we should go.
Mm-hmm. But you also have history.
You
also have history.
Which is not only do we have the 60s, we also are old.
We're on the block a few times.
But that is the biggest problem, I think, in this country. In America culture, when you get a certain age, you're young, especially you're young, have a little understanding. They want you to sit in the corner. And in other cultures outside of the U.S., they collaborate, they listen. That's why my daughter can make that statement about being in the 60s, because I have always been on some type of movement, even if I'm the only person moving on the movement, that, you know, to keep the whole thing, you know, alive, you know, keep everything prevalent. Because as an African-American, I just think, at this age, this is one of the things I must do.
I hear you, and I think this is really an important conference. I was excited about it when I first heard Kevin and Margaret talk about it at Real News one evening when I was there. Some of our new offices are over there, so they were there doing something else. And first heard about this, I was really, really excited that this was coming to town. So this is the 2014 Baltimore Economic Development Conference, Building Our New Economy Together, taking place at the Real News Network tonight, 6:30,
the doors open. It starts at 7.
Mm-hmm. For a discussion. And tomorrow at the University of Maryland School of Social Work, starting at
8:30
in the morning, yes. And going till?
Till 4:30. And then we'll actually be going around the block to the Ale House for people that want to continue talking.
That sounds good, too. There's nothing wrong with that.
So I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
I think so, too.
People are very excited about
the event is open to the public, but you can register to reserve a place or just show up.
Just show up. Yeah, at this point, because we've already given the estimate to the caterer for we'll be doing bag lunches, just show up and bring your own lunch. We'll have water, you know, and tea and things for people to drink.
Well, I'm really glad this is happening. So I want to thank – always good to see you, Margaret.
Great to see you, Margaret.
Flowers and Studio Joy Smith. Great to see you. It's been too long. It's lovely to see you again.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. Glad you're still out there fighting and doing the struggle. And John Morris, great to have you in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Dean of the Urban Planning School at Sojourner Douglas. One of our most important institutions, and let's keep that place alive. Good to have you all in the studio. Thank you so much.
Great. So can I just mention, it's oureconomy.us.
I'm sorry, I meant to say that. But yeah. You said it. Good. It's oureconomy.us. Right. So thank you all for being here.
Okay. Thanks.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Mike Middleton today, the big man himself behind the board. Our intern is Alex Boston. To hear this show again, podcast the show, get information about all things you've heard in today's show, about what our guests are working on, just visit us on the web at steinershow.org. The conference and everything else that we're talking about will all be on our website. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts now on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.